In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
This is Pastor John filling in for Pastor Greg, and we're working through a series on the birth of Christ seen through the enemies of Christ. By the way, if you're interested in receiving our show notes, please email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. In the last couple sessions, we've looked at two prophetic passages, Genesis and Revelation. We looked at Matthew and Luke and looked at the two genealogies of Christ, one tracing it through the legal line to the right to the throne and the bloodline to the throne. And then we looked at the two births of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now we're going to move forward to the actual time that Christ is born. He's been brought into this world. And we discover that there are two kings. The first king, of course, is the coming king, Jesus Christ. But when he was born, we had a reigning king in Jerusalem. His name was King Herod. Let me read from Matthew 2, 1 through 3. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all the Jerusalem with him. This is important to note. There's two kings here. We've got King Herod reigning and ruling from Jerusalem, and he is not willing to give up this throne. And then there's the newborn king, Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do, and the whole purpose of this message, is to show you that King Herod was not ignorant of who Jesus Christ was. He was quite informed. So let's walk through the narrative and discover, what did King Herod actually know about Jesus Christ? Well, in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2, we read this, that he knew he was the king of the Jews. Verse 4, we read that he knew that the chief priests and the scribes had answers. So he knew the religious people had the knowledge of who this king would be. In fact, they even knew the location of the birth of Christ. And the scribes and priests read it and said, "Bethlehem." In fact, they quoted the Old Testament, which meant King Herod at least understood the Old Testament to be reliable. He quoted Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So when the scribes and chief priests quoted this passage to King Herod, King Herod knew this text to be reliable. Furthermore, he sought even more witnesses, other reliable witnesses. So he sought out the wise men, Matthew 2:7. And then in Matthew 2:8, he knew that this newborn king should be worshipped. Now, he may have said it in a sense of, "Yeah, I'm going to go worship. I would like to worship him." And he knew that was the right thing to say. But we knew, and God knew in his heart, that was not his intentions. But he understood that this child to be born, this king, was something different. And in Matthew 2:12, we discover that God knew that this was not his true heart. And so God protected Joseph, Mary, and Jesus and sent them off to Egypt. So what did King Herod do with all this knowledge? Just stop and think for a minute. What did he know? He knew everything necessary to repent and believe. But did he repent and believe? Sadly, no. He inquired of the time of the star's appearance, Matthew 2:7. He sent the wise men to find Jesus and report back to him. And he believed all this to be true. But then he devised an evil plan to kill Jesus. This is most disturbing. To have such full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and the response not to repent and be humbled, but the response is to kill and destroy. And so, as we know, God came to the wise men and said, don't go back and report this to King Herod. Get out of town. Protect yourselves. And then it says in Matthew 2:13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So God goes to the wise men, protects them. God comes to Joseph, protects them. And this is such a great reminder that no one can thwart the plans of God. God is sovereign, and he knows the hearts of men. So what did King Herod do? Listen to Matthew 2:16-18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. Now, I have to pause here. Whenever you see an adjective in front of the word angry, it usually means excessive anger. This is significant. This is like King Nebuchadnezzar anger. Turn up that oven, the furnace, make it hot. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts. This was a slaughter. This is just like what Pharaoh tried to do with the birth of Moses. From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying in verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Herod knew the truth. Herod could have repented. God gave him everything he knew that he needed to know. And instead of bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ and being thankful and celebrating this great Savior, in his sin and apostasy, he devises an evil plan and tries to destroy Christ. And behind Herod, behind all these evil leaders, is Satan once again trying to stop the seed. Think about it. He tried to stop the seed with Cain and Abel. He tried to stop the seed with Noah. He tried to stop the seed with Abraham, with David. But God was overthrowing that plan every turn, frustrating the plans of the evil one. And so Herod, evil king that he was, refused to repent. This is an amazing, amazing thought. And by the way, it doesn't stop with Herod. His son, Archelaus, begins to reign. Listen to this, Matthew 2:19-23. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came in the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God, in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. That warning to Joseph and the family not to go there is proof that this knowledge that Herod had and the anger towards his king was passed on to his son. And his son, if he had found Christ, would have tried to do the same thing, destroy him. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene. So since God warned Joseph in the dream about Archelaus, we can reason he knew everything Herod knew, and if the opportunity presented itself, would kill Jesus just as his dad tried and failed. Now, most likely, Archelaus knew and the other family members. Herod had several family members. There was Archelaus, there was Herod Antipas, there was Herodias, and also Philip. Herodias was the wife and Philip. And as we know later, John the Baptist would rebuke Herod Antipas for marrying his brother's wife. All this to say is that here is all this knowledge, and the knowledge is rejected. And so it brings us to the close of this. There are only two responses to the birth of Christ. Today, it's hard to find someone who doesn't know who Jesus Christ. They may need a little help from you to give them some additional details. But there's only two responses. You can reject and remain in unbelief as an enemy of Christ. John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned. That's the good news. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. This is so critical. So the one response is to reject and remain in unbelief. But the other response is to repent and believe, to be a disciple of Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Have you acknowledged your sin before God? Because it says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Herod was working the wages of sin, and he received those wages, hell, for his rejection of Christ. But we can repent and we can believe and receive this free gift of eternal life. And Romans 10:9 tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction anymore between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And I love this last part of verse 13 in Romans 10. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're faced, each of us, with two responses. Will we respond like Herod? Or we'll respond like Paul later, who believes on the Damascus Road. This is the challenge before us. As you listen to and think about the birth of Christ that we're just about to celebrate, even though he was a baby and he wasn't quite yet a man, he is our Savior. And he would grow up one day to go to that cross for you, to die on the cross for your sin. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God takes the righteousness of Christ and puts it on you and clothes you with it, because he's taken the sin of you away as far as the east is from the west. And so when you think about this Christmas and you think about his birth, don't forget to understand that he was born to be our Savior. Well, it's been a thrill to serve you these last few sessions. As you prepare for Christmas, and you talk to family members, talk about the birth of Christ. Remind them of who Herod was. Talk about his evil plans and what he did. But show them that God was able to stop that evil plan. And talk about who Jesus really is in the cradle. He will grow up to be this incredible Savior. And that this is an opportunity while there's life and breath to repent and believe. So think about this Christmas, about the birth of Christ. Think about the enemies of Christ. And ask this question, which side are you on? Well, thank you for spending this time today with me. And may God richly bless you and grow you in the grace, peace, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.